Calvin is playing with one of his toy trucks on the floor, and his mom is nearby, and he says, "When I grow up, I want to be a radical terrorist." And his mom says, "Mm-hmm." And then he says, "I'm going to inhale this can of pesticide." And his mom says, "Mm-hmm." Then he says, "I'm going to watch TV all night." And mom says, "That's what you think, Buster." In the last frame, Calvin says, "You can never tell if they're listening or not." I wonder if Jesus ever thought to himself, "You can never tell if they're listening or not." Today is the fifth Sunday of the season of Lent. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. I wanted to briefly review with you where we have been over our journey through this season of Lent. Remember, the series title is Encounters on the Way, people that Jesus encounters on his way towards the cross. Somewhat playing loosely with that term, because the first person that he encounters is the devil in his temptation, and that was at the very beginning of his ministry. But I tried to convince you on that Sunday that there's a sense when Jesus begins that ministry, he is already on his way to the cross. So 5 weeks ago, we considered Matthew's account of Jesus being tempted by the devil in the desert. The devil, remember, makes three attempts to get Jesus to forget who he is and what his mission is, and all of them fail. On the second Sunday in Lent, we encountered that passage in John's Gospel where Jesus meets Nicodemus the Pharisee, who comes with a long list of questions and doesn't even begin to ask any of the questions on his list because Jesus derails the conversation immediately. So Nicodemus leaves that conversation pretty much confused, but already on the road to becoming a disciple. He remains one of my favorite characters in the Gospels. On the third Sunday, 2 weeks ago, we read the passage in John's Gospel in which Jesus meets that Samaritan woman at the well, whose name Dalit, which means to draw water, since she's not given a name in the gospel. That well is Jacob's ancient well, remember? And this woman is the polar opposite in many ways from Nicodemus, who is esteemed and male and Jewish, and she is not esteemed, and she is female, and she is a Samaritan, but she gets it when Nicodemus doesn't. She learns that this ordinary-looking man from Galilee is not so ordinary, just as Nicodemus does, that he offers water gushing up to eternal life, living water, and she learns a few things about what constitutes true worship. Last Sunday, we read the text in which Jesus heals a blind man, that long passage, whom I named Uriel, which means, "The Lord is my light." Jesus heals on the Sabbath and, of course, gets into all kinds of trouble for doing that. The passage is filled with references to light and to dark, to being able to see and not being able to see. And he essentially accuses the Pharisees of not being able to see, that they are blind because they can't recognize who he is. So today we encounter this text with Jesus raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. It's a long passage and has a number of important themes. We'll look at only a few of those this morning. Over the past few weeks, we've seen in John's Gospel that Jesus performs throughout the length of the Gospel exactly seven signs or miracles. If you read Matthew or Mark or Luke, there are many, many more than seven miracles that Jesus performs in each of those Gospels. But in John, only seven. So he chose that holy number, that whole number, for a reason. The last of those signs is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Jesus is on his way to the holy city, to Jerusalem, for the final time. Remember that Bethany is just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. He is on his way there. So we know that when he enters the city, he'll be greeted by crowds waving palm branches and shouting praises to God as he enters the city. 4 days later, he's going to be arrested, and on the day after that, he'll be crucified. His final sign of raising Lazarus from the dead is, of course, a prefiguring of his own death. Lazarus is entombed in a cave with a stone rolled in front of it. That's exactly what happens when Jesus is buried as well. Lazarus' resurrection prefigures his own resurrection. This seventh sign in John's gospel actually has a rather clear connection with the sixth one, which is the healing of Uriel, that blind man. In both of these accounts, Jesus tells his disciples that someone has suffered or is suffering in order that he might be glorified. We talked about that a little last week and how upsetting that is for us, that we might undergo suffering for the sake of God or Christ being glorified. I try to convince you that not all suffering is for that reason, that sometimes suffering can't be explained. And all that we can count on is that God is walking with us through that suffering, and He does. But at least sometimes it seems suffering happens so that God or Christ might be glorified. It's most interesting and certainly not a coincidence that Jesus heals a blind man and raises his friend so that God's glory and power and compassion might be demonstrated. Not always, but sometimes. So all of the seven signs that Jesus recounts in John are intended so that the witness of those who hear of them or see them may believe that Jesus really is the Son of God and the Messiah. Each one of the signs is intended to convince those who see it or hear about it and us that He really is the Son of God. Just before He calls Lazarus out of the cave, Jesus prays a very brief prayer, thanking His Father for hearing His plea for His friend, even though He hasn't performed the sign yet, and for giving Him the power to raise Lazarus. And He prays this way, He says, so that people witnessing the event might believe that He is indeed sent by His Father, just like all of the other signs. We're told in the last verse of today's reading that many of the Jews who were there came to believe because of what they had seen Him do that day. Note that both Martha and Mary, when they first see Jesus, speak the same words, "Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died." Both of the sisters, through previous encounters with Jesus or having heard about the other signs, have some inkling of who He is and attribute to Him the power to heal. Now He shows them that not only can He heal, but He can also raise people from the dead. Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." I am the resurrection and the life, another one of those famous I am sayings in John. Every time you run across one of those, remember it's a reference to Moses on the mountain speaking to God in the burning bush. Moses asks the Lord, "Who shall I tell the people that You are?" The Lord replies, "Tell them I am." Jesus is also I am, the same God. Everyone, He says, who lives and believes in Him will never die, not ultimately and finally, physical death, yes, but there is resurrection, which He demonstrates through Lazarus. Martha replies, "Yes, Lord, I believe You are the Messiah, the Son of God." Martha's profession of faith. Frankly, we have a hard time with the resurrection, don't we? Because we don't see resurrected people walking around. It's one of those faith issues. But it is nevertheless one of those characteristics of our faith to which we cling, in spite of the lack of evidence, that there is a resurrection, and the proof of the resurrection is really the resurrection of Christ Himself. He gives us a foretaste of that in the raising of Lazarus. He claims that He is the resurrection and the life, and it is in and through Him that we have abundant and eternal life, in the same way that Lazarus has. We encounter that fact, of course, in full force 2 weeks from today, when we will be in this room celebrating the resurrection. But before we get there, there is the cross. Jesus raises His good friend. Remember that famous passage, "Jesus wept," is in the middle of our reading for today. He loved Lazarus. And I think he weeps in the same way over the death of each one of us, which is not the final death, because we are also resurrected. Isn't it amazing that Jesus weeps over us? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The death that we all experience is not the end. We will also be raised. Thanks be to God. Amen.